Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
How's everybody this morning? Good. If you're online, comment on there, say hey, share, like the video as well. That also helps if you're in the room, maybe this afternoon, grab that online video and share it. That is a really great opportunity. Now, in 2020, 2021, that is usually the first step that somebody takes into a church. And so sometimes they do come in person the first time, but a lot of times they click on that online feed and they watch for the first time. So sharing that is a great opportunity for them to be a part of the service. And so that's a part of what we're doing. I want to pray for us and ask God to just speak to us this morning. And so this series really is setting up what we want to do, the purpose, the main point, the big thing is we want to take our faith, which can seem almost pie in the sky sometimes, big theological statements, and we want to pull that down into our everyday life. What does that look like in the practical? What does that look like as a parent, as a spouse, as a coworker, as whatever that may look like? How do we pull this into our everyday experience? Extremely practical lives. And so we're looking at the book of Mark. And last week we looked at a picture, a day in the life when Jesus was baptized. And we saw what God spoke over him. And he went straight into temptation. And so it's so important for you and I to know what God says about us first. And so if you want to go back and watch that. And then today we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to have it on the screens for you as well. But before we get there, I just want to pray for us and ask God to speak. So, dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for moving in our everyday lives, God, that you are just not a God that sits up on his throne disconnected from us, God, but we are thankful that you care about the relationship, the everyday life that we live. God, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that your word would guide us. I pray that we leave this place encouraged, challenged, whatever that may look like, to be more like you, God. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So to catch us up in between Mark chapter 1 and heading into Mark chapter 2, Jesus goes on from being baptized, moving into the wilderness to be tempted, and now he started to perform these string of miracles. I mean, he is healing people. They are walking up to him, and he is speaking with authority. He's teaching with authority. And so crowds are starting to notice about Jesus already here in Mark chapter 2. And Mark is a pretty incredible book because Mark, and some people even call him John Mark. He's actually the cousin of Barnabas, which is kind of cool to think. And later in the book of Acts, we see that he and Paul actually have this big disagreement about going on a ministry journey. And then, amazing how God is and how he works in his faithfulness, because he's faithful, even though we are not, right? We see this reconciliation happen by the end of Acts, where Paul is writing and he's saying, hey, you need to grab Mark. He is useful for the ministry. And so we see this journey that Mark takes. And then Mark, most people believe that he followed very closely with Peter. And so a lot of these stories are written from what Peter was speaking, what Peter experienced firsthand. And we get to look into that. And so Mark is writing all of this down and showing us. And so Jesus, because of his large following, right, he starts to accumulate all kinds of different followers. And some of those followers, much as we've seen today, maybe you have experienced this at work or somewhere else in life where people started to notice what you were doing. But if we see in society, a lot of times when we start to get noticed, not only does it attract people that agree with you, that are excited, that celebrate, like that is awesome, but it also brings some haters, right? It brings some people that do not agree with what you're doing. It brings some people that are going, wait a second, you don't deserve to be there. Like, what this is, I always knew the boss liked you better than everybody else, right? Like, it creates this. And so not only do we get a following of people who are right there walking with us, but also people that are against us, that don't believe in what we're doing. Maybe you even experience this as a Christian. You see your life has changed, right? And they see the change in your life. You get some people that are around you going, yes, this is a great decision. This is a great move. And then you have some that are going, I can't believe you're doing this. I can't believe you believe that. I can't believe you are following that. And so we have this tension, really, that we live in, of balancing this. And how do we balance that tension? How do we live in relational and relationships with all of those different people? How, most importantly, do we stay in the biblical lane? How do we stay in the lane that God has called us to? And so we are so blessed that we get to look at a day in the life of Jesus. We get to look in Mark chapter 2 and peek into his life and go, how did he manage this tension? How did he connect with those people, and how did he manage both sides of the crowd, right? Both sides of the coin. And that's what we're looking at here in Mark chapter 2. And as I do want to say, because I almost picked the string of miracles to preach on, but what I want to just point out in Mark chapter 2 is these string of miracles, and then at the beginning of Mark chapter 2, I just preached on it late last year. And so I wanted to hit some things that we really haven't covered. The string of miracles, what I want us to get is we don't worship the miracle. We worship Jesus. And Jesus performed the miracle in order to point to himself. He did it to prove that he was the Messiah. He did it to prove who he was, because sometimes as Christians, we can look for the miracle. We can worship them. We can say, God, we just want the miracle. God, we want this to happen, which is good, and we need to pray for those things, but ultimately, it's about the relationship. It's about trusting Jesus and then allowing him to do what he feels like as he's connecting all of these things, and so we worship him. We lift his name up, and then we allow him to work in his will around us and in the relationships around us as well. And so we get to Mark chapter 2, verse 13. And so Jesus has just healed this particular man. He actually reaches down one of the first times and points to that he is God and says, you are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And then he goes and he starts to teach. And this is where we see these different relationships come out into play. So Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Everybody okay? Amen. Amen. Verse 13, and it says this. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This kicks off where he calls out this person, Levi, to come and follow him, which we later see that he changed his name to Matthew. And Matthew was a tax collector. And tax collectors back in this day, which some of you may know, but if you're listening in, tax collectors of this day were all, like, the lowest of the low. A lot of times people, when they saw them in the streets, they would get upset. They would hurl insults at them, and the reason is because they were collecting these taxes, and they would say, this is for the Roman Empire, but not only would they take the taxes, they would add a little upcharge for themselves, almost like that convenience fee, right? Like MasterCard's like way higher, or whatever, American Express, isn't this one, right? That's way higher, but like you almost charging up that percentage so that they could get rich. And so the people who were paying taxes were going hungry. They were losing their houses. They were losing their businesses. Their livelihood was being stripped away while the tax collectors were getting richer and richer and richer, and they were taking their money, and they were not being gracious at all. If you owe taxes, you didn't pay them, you go to jail. You get stripped away. And so they were hated by the ordinary people. They were hated by people outside of that Roman system. And so when they saw this happen, Jesus comes. It was unheard of for a rabbi at that time to go to somebody like Levi and go, "Hey, will you follow me? I see something in your life. I actually see what God can do in your heart. Will you come follow me?" And immediately, right, people are coming to Jesus. And then we see a second crowd. We have the sinners that are there that are naturally flocking to Jesus. They love Jesus. They wanted to talk with him. And then we have another group, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And the Pharisees were these particular group of people who they believed they were the top tier. I mean, you had to work. You had to memorize. A lot of them had the Pentateuch and more, the first five books of the Bible, completely memorized. And they would, it was all about, look at me. It was all about, look how good we are. Look how much we have done. Look how hard we have gotten to be in this select group. And you need to work to get into this select group as well. And so their position was to look down and to look down on everybody else and going, you need to be more like us. You are not worthy to walk with us. We are the ones that are connected to God, and you need to be more like us. And it was this self-righteous, this self-lifting up that we see here. And then they begin and they see Jesus and they saw how he interacted with those around us. But I want to spend a few minutes in each one of those sections. And today, the title of my message, if you're taking notes, maybe you're taking mental notes or you want to take a picture of the screen, whatever you want to do with technology, the title of my message today is Tables, Not Fences. Tables, not fences. And so when we look at the first picture here as a Pharisee, what happened with the Pharisees is they started to think more about their reputation. They started to think more about what do people think of me more than their heart, more than their character. And so the first thing I want us to get here is the danger is when reputation overrides character. When we care more about what people think I look like, right? More than my heart, more than my character. That's when the danger can start to kick in, because the natural flow that God has given us is to worry about our character and let our reputation take care of itself. Jesus was worried about the heart of the sinner. Jesus was worried about the heart of the people who needed him, and he let his reputation follow, right? He was hanging out with these sinners, these disconnected people, and the Pharisees were the opposite. They cared about what you thought. They cared about how I looked, right? All of these things, and it became a danger because they started to worry more about the reputation than actually what was happening in their heart. And if we pull this down, I love this, into the real world. I think about even when we raise our kids. And we don't raise our kids to go, okay, look, we're going out in public. I want you to be a good kid, but when we get back to the house, you can act however you want. Right? Like we don't say that, right? Like, we want them to act okay. We want them to be all right, but we see the innocence of that. But now, because now we're just teaching about reputation, about how they look, we actually want to teach them to be more like God, more like Jesus. And to, no matter where you are, no matter where you are, let's make a good decision. No matter what group you're involved with, let's make a good decision, right? And so we see this begin to play out. And then also for even as adults, right? We can't act a certain way when we're out in public, when eyes are on us, and then go back behind closed doors and we're a completely different person. Because now it's not, our heart hasn't changed. It's more about what we look like. It's more about our reputation instead of our character. And God is saying, I want your heart. We see this illustrated in Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to read this to you because it is so good. I was reading through it last night, and it almost got me emotional, and then we were singing, I See a Victory. So I'm like, I grew up playing sports. This is ADD moment. Grew up sports. You know how you're like, you're in the tunnel, and you're just like, you know, getting ready, and like when that song comes on, I'm back in the tunnel. I'm like, here we go. It's back, ready to go, ready to fire it up. So if I get excited, just bear with me. Verse 9, it says this, Luke 18, verse 9. This is an illustration, a parable that Jesus teaches. And he says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So he's telling this parable, and he's speaking to the Pharisees, people who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We see a picture of two people. One lifting himself up, going before God, going, oh, and he built, what did he do? He built this fence up. God, thank you. I'm not like them. We are separated. We're not even in this. I built this fence up. They are not even worthy to be in my presence. They're not worthy to be here. And then we get this other picture, this sinner. He doesn't believe he even deserves to be in the presence of God. which we don't. And he stands there, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you and I, before we come to know Christ, are exactly in this position. We are sinners in need of saving grace. We need a Savior. And it is not by our works. What did the Pharisee do? He pointed to his works. He said, I fast all the time. I give all of this money. And God is going, that is great. But yet you are lifting yourself up. It's not about you. It's about lifting God up. And God is saying, in my kingdom, I will lift you up. Don't worry about your reputation. Don't worry about lifting yourself up. You worry about your character, and I'll take care of your reputation. I'll take care of your heart. I'll take care of all of those things if you will worry about your heart before me. And we see this beautiful picture that God gives us. And he is correcting. And every time we see Jesus, when he comes and confronts somebody like this, his heart longs. His heart goes out. And he humbly walks down and picks them up. And then we see in Scripture the time that he gets angry, the time he's flipping tables. And can you just imagine Jesus making a whip? Like he's pulling this whip together, Holy Week, and he is said, get out of my temple. What are you doing? This is not what my house is about. My house is a house of prayer. It is not about you lifting yourself up, not about you getting rich. No, it's about my kingdom. And Jesus, that's the people that Jesus comes at, and he's saying, listen, we need to redirect here. You're building fences up. You're making it harder for people to come to me instead of a table where we can all come to the table and feast on my grace. We can all come to the table and have a conversation and all of these different things. But what I love about this is the tension I think we have to wrestle with is because, yes, we all come to the table, but we also see verses in the New Testament, and Paul is big on this, and he is saying that, hey, we are made holy and righteous by God, right? That we are still in the world, but how do we pursue holiness, but yet still interact with people who are far from God? And I know we may wrestle with that, right? Like, what does this look like? We invite people who are far from God into the table. Maybe you're listening online or in the room, and you feel like you're far from God, and I want you to hear this. This is what God is calling us to, and it's to build a bigger table and not a bigger fence. A bigger table where we can come as Jesus, what does he say? Come to me, right? He gives this invitation of saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden. He gives this invitation, and the prerequisite is weary and burden. Not, I have it all together. I got it all figured out. He's saying, no, come to me. I'm giving this invitation. Sit at the table with me. But if we look at Jesus' life, he walks and connects with all of these. He's eating at the table, literally, with these sinners, and people are looking at him, people who are adulterous and all of these things, but he's bringing them to the table. But if you look at Jesus' life, he doesn't enter into the sin with them. He doesn't enter into the things that they are doing. He didn't go into the tax collector's booth with Matthew and go, hey, yeah, let's upcharge that. I need a cut of that too, right? Like, let's make this happen together, right? He doesn't join them in their sin. And so if you're taking notes, we don't join in their sin. We love them away from sin. We love them toward a better way. What Jesus did, he's saying, come to the table. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk through this. I'm not going to join in into your lifestyle, but yes, I am going to enter into a relationship with you, and we're going to talk about this. I want you to actually be close enough. If we got this tall 6-foot fence, right, we can't see each other's life, right? And it's like, well, what's going on over there? But if we put a table down and invite people to the table, now they can see our life and go, whoa, That's a better way. This is almost like you have a secret of how to live. Like this, it's almost like this abundant life. It's like you know the way. It's like you know the truth. It's like you know how to actually live life. And you say, yeah, come to the table. Come to the table and let me introduce you to my Savior. It's not about me. There's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. Let me introduce you to Jesus. And these disciples that turned the world upside down were going into places that the Pharisees and religious leaders would have never set foot in. Now they were going all throughout the world on fire. It's going, let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me show you Jesus. Let me show you a better way to live. Let me show you how he can fulfill you. Yeah, I didn't say it was going to be easy. I didn't say it was going to be safe. In fact, it may be a little dangerous. It may be a little crazy, but I'm telling you, you will be fulfilled. You will walk in purpose. You will walk in hope. You will walk in grace. And he said, let me show you this. But it's when we set the table instead of building a fence. And you and I, in our lives, I believe if we pull this down into real life, right, like at work, we don't walk in and we don't enter into gossip just to be a part of the group, right? We don't enter into that sin and go, hey, yes, let me get further into this group so I can help them. Let me get further into this so I can move that. God is going, no, I want you to be a light in a dark world. You're the light that steps into that. We're not joining in, but yet we're sitting at the table going, look, let me show you a better way. Come to the table and let me introduce you to my Savior. Let me introduce you to Jesus. And then we, of course, have the person who is far from God. And we see this picture of how God interacts with them. And as I get ready to land the plane here, I just want to point this out because on verse 17, this is so big for you and I. Everybody still good? Hey, okay. Verse 17, it says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And so he gives us this beautiful picture of his heart. He's saying, hearing this, Jesus is saying this, not the healthy you need, but the sick. I have come. And we see this statement that God's heart is for those who are dependent on him. Those who are stopping and going, Jesus, I need you. I am one who is focused on you. I need you to intervene in my life. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I don't have this thing all figured out. I need your voice in my life. And God, I need wisdom as I'm interacting with this person. I need wisdom as I'm interacting with my spouse. I need wisdom as I'm interacting with each other. And we see this picture that God gives us. I was rereading this book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Friar. It's by Jim Cimbala. He's a pastor of a church in New York City. And he has this quote. I love this quote. It says, God is attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. I thought, wow, God's heart longs for our heart just to stop and go, God, I can't build this fence. I'm no better than them. The only reason I can have this opportunity in my life is because of what you have done in me. It's only because of you, Jesus. And now we as Christians go out into the world, not building fences, going, oh, we're better than you. You don't think like me, so build this fence up. Nope, right? We live in a cancel culture, right? You don't think like me, fence, you're gone, right? Like, unfollow, all of these things, right? Well, you don't agree with me, so we're done. But we are called to step into the darkness. We are called to step. This is something that God has put on my heart over the past few weeks, and this is phrase, step into the pain. Step into that vulnerability moment. And it's scary, it's uncertain, but it's a moment where we have to depend on God. It's a moment where you and I go, this is bigger than me. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to have a relationship with you, God. God, but work in me and work through me. I'm no better than them. Only by your grace. And so let's set this. We are out in the world setting up tables to interact with people and going, hey, let me show you a better way. I love the name of our church because it's our vision. We're the bridge. We don't cry separation. We're the ones that come and bring things together. We step into the middle when in America right now they're saying, you go to this side, you go to this side, you go to your corner, you go to your corner, and then just yell at each other, right? Like, don't interact, don't be vulnerable, don't have the conversation. But you and I as Christians, in the middle of this ring, we step into the middle and go, hey, look, we got this table up. I'm no better than you. Let's have this conversation. Let's talk together. Look, Jesus, there were people who looked at him and go, what are you doing? That's not how we live here in America. That's not what we do. We cancel people. But Jesus is going, look, I'm not worried about my reputation. I'm worried about what's right. I'm worried about following God. I'm worried about leading people to the Savior, leading people to a better way, leading people to an abundant life. And you and I, we get to walk into that. We have the utmost honor every day to sit at the table. Psalm 23, what does God say? I set a table up before your enemies. He didn't say I built a fence so that you don't have to interact with them. I don't do this thing, but I set a table so that your enemies can see that you're sitting in the valley of the shadow of death. You're sitting in this darkness and my light is still shining. You're sitting in this chaos and they see peace. You're sitting in this and you're inviting people in who do not deserve to be a part of the conversation, but you and I are sitting at the table going, come on, I'm no better than you, but I know a Jesus who has made me right, who has made me holy, and I can introduce you to him as well. I'm not going to join you. I'm not going to move into that. But I'm going to call you out into who I am following and who I'm connecting with. And so that's my prayer is for you and I is maybe to look at our life and go, where have I built a fence in my life? Where have I built where I'm trying to keep, this is my way of thinking, this is my way, and I'm not even interacting. And I pray today that we take those fences down and we build a table. And we build a table and say, you know what? I know who. That's why it's so important to know first our identity, who we are in Christ, because we're going out into the world and we'll be tempted all different ways. People may say things about us. I can't believe you talked to them. I can't believe you did this. All these things, right? But we know what God has said about us. And now we're following Jesus. I'm going, okay, God, I'm following what is right, and that's my path. I'm following you. I'm sticking so close to you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about my reputation. Philippians 2 is riddled with Jesus humbling himself. With Jesus, it says in the New King James Version that he was a man of no reputation. That he emptied himself to be obedient all the way to the cross. What would it look like in the low country for a group of people to go, you know what? I want to be more like Jesus. I want to empty myself, and I want to lift his name up. I want to have the conversations. I want to step into that and go, hey, let's talk about it. Let me introduce you to my Savior. Let me introduce you to Jesus. I know, let's talk about it. It's frustrating. I know, let's talk about it. Can I show you what his word says, right? We don't have to join into it, but we invite them in, just like Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary. And what is his promise? I will give you rest for your souls. And we have this beautiful promise with us today. So I just want to pray for us. Pray for us as a church. And that God would use us for his glory. That we would build tables, not fences. And maybe there's something in us that we say, you know what? Yeah, I have a fence here. About this person or about this thing or whatever it may be, God. I pray that you help me work on in me in that. Allow me to be a light in that. Allow me to be a light at my workplace or have the conversation, whatever that may be. Or maybe you need to go back to what we were talking about last week and saying, I need to know more of who I am in Christ. I need to be diving into his word. I need to hear. I need to walk in community. I need to be discipled more. I need to be in the small group, whatever that may be, because I need to know before I walk into that. Wherever that may be, my prayer is that we take those faith steps. We'll be real and open with God, honest with God, and going, God, he already knows, I promise. You and I to have this moment relationship with God and go, God, I need help here. I need your wisdom here. I need you to the Holy Spirit to reveal your way, your truth here in my life. God, I want to pursue your ways. I want to surrender my will, empty myself, God, and your will move into my life. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your example. Thank you for your word and how we can peer into your life and how you walk this life. You were 100% man, so you felt all the insecurity and all of those things, God, but you were 100% God. And you walked in the way. God, you showed us how to interact with those who are around us, God. I pray that you would fill us. I pray the Holy Spirit would illuminate who we are in Christ, and we would cling to that, who you've called us to be, so that when we step out into this broken world, God, and we hear all of these different things and opinions and all of this, God, I pray that you would remind us of who you've called us to be. God, I pray that you would help us build a table to have these conversations, to interact with those who maybe are not like us. God, that we know that you are not calling us into the lifestyle that they may be living, but yet you are calling us to be a light and to love them towards the better way, God, towards you, towards a relationship with you, Jesus. Help us to walk in your grace. Thank you for your son, Jesus, God. And how he set us free, that we can walk in holiness, we can walk in hope. God, we love you and ask all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.